John chapter 8, verse 21. We'll look just mainly at the verses from verse 21 through verse 24 today. Let's read these four verses. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he said, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have made your truth known to us, that in Jesus you have shown yourself to us, even saying that when we have seen the Son, we have seen the Father. And we thank you for this. We pray that you would open our eyes to your truth today. You would help us to apply your truth to our own lives and teach us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. That you may be glorified, your kingdom be built, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus was dealing with the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, those who had a lot of power, a lot of control over the masses, over many people. And there are times, including here, where Jesus speaks to them plainly. He says, You shall seek me and shall die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come. Jesus speaks plainly to them. That in itself is already a lesson to us that sometimes we don't need to make a big speech when just the truth needs to be said. But also, at the same time, to think of and remember, how do we speak to others? Do we speak in such a way as if I have things that you don't have? If I don't give them to you, you can't have them? Or do I give them to you in such a way, God has given me things, and I pray that God will also give you things, and I want to share Scripture, I want to share the Bible, I want to share what Jesus says with you, even if it's direct sometimes, because I also want him to give it to you. If God's truth does not come to us from God, then we won't receive it. We won't understand it, and we won't believe it. Now, you'll see this line here, and if you thought about it, in verse 23, Jesus says, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I see a very clear separation that Jesus makes between him and the unbelievers. It's a bit like this line where Jesus says, I am up there and you are under here. I'm just briefly mentioning it now. I think a little bit later, I will say some more regarding that you will start to see the picture of why I drew this line here. But I drew this line because there's a clear separation that Jesus makes that we need to understand. The way Jesus speaks to them is, you will seek me and you will die in your sin. What is he saying? Well, if you're under this line and you try to go up, you'll never reach further than this line. Jesus is up there and you're down here and you can't get past. You will seek me and you will die in your sin. Isn't it true that Jesus said, another time, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me? Yes, it is also true. But when Jesus says, you will seek me and you shall die in your sins, this seeking, there are different types of seeking that I think we will see a little bit more as we progress in our message today. I want to I've broken this down into a few points. One is that the sentence of death that we have because of our sin. We have this sentence of death. In Ezekiel 18, it says, the soul that sins, it shall die. So there is the sentence. Secondly, there is a barrier. There is a line. There's a line. It's a barrier that you cannot cross. You cannot come, Jesus says. There's an inability. We don't have the ability. There's that. That's the barrier that we have in our flesh, in ourselves. There is the dividing line from beneath and from above. Jesus is there. He will be there forever. It doesn't change. He is from above. He has always been from above. He is always of the light. He always remains there. He does not change. And then at the end, point number four is that there is a door. And Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, unless you believe that I am the Messiah, unless you believe that I am the one that Moses spoke about, unless you believe that I am the light. Jesus told them, I am the light. In our last passage that we looked at in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Even this was following prophecies that the light would come from Isaiah. And Jesus says, I am the light. And Jesus is telling them, unless you believe, you will die in your sin. You will die in your sin, not of your sin, not something external. Oh, you came into this world and this world has sin and you will die and go to hell. Not that. But you have sin. The Bible says that in Adam, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Adam, we all sin. We all have sin in ourselves. By ourselves, we can go seeking, but if we don't look in the right place, in the right person, all we will arrive at is unpardoned, without forgiveness, and unbelief. And we will end up in hell. We can seek in 1,000 places to get rid of our sin, but if we don't see that our only hope is in Christ, we will die in our sin. That's the sentence of death that God has promised. It started with Adam and Eve, and God showed it to Israel over and over and over again. If they did not believe, they could be a part of the clan, they could be a part of Israel. And yet, many in the wilderness died in unbelief. They did not die to go and be with Christ. They died in unbelief to be separated from God and eternity in hell. So unless you believe, you will die in your sin. This is the sentence that all of humanity is under. The soul that sins, it shall die. Jesus repeats this. It's a warning. It is serious. And he says, you should take heed. The Jews and the Pharisees were acting in such a way as if they were above everyone else. Jesus couldn't teach them anything. That's how they acted. But Jesus says in verse 21, and this should cause someone to listen when he says, you will seek me and die in your sin. And then in verse 23, you are of this world. He's not saying you are in this world. We're all in this world. He's saying you are of this world. In verse 24, he says, that's why I said to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Many today will say that that is very narrow-minded. You mean there's only one way? Unless you believe that I am the one that Moses spoke about, that the prophet spoke about, unless you say that I am that one, you will die in your sins? Yes. When Jesus says later in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. We have this sentence of death, but God. What I want you to see is we have this barrier. We cannot go up, but what happens? God must come down. God comes to us. That is what is mercy. That is what is grace. It is not by us, but it is by Him. That's why Ephesians says, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is seeking, and I want to show you that I think there are two different types of seeking. Only seeking without coming is not salvation. If you run around and seek something, but you don't come to Jesus, you cannot be saved. Jesus said similarly in John 5, verse 39, where he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Search the scriptures. They are doing it. They should be doing it. But the searching, the seeking alone does not bring them to Christ, does not bring them to salvation. They have to come to Christ. What does that mean? Your life. You give up your life. You give up your sin. You give up yourself and say, Lord, I have nothing to give. I need you. So you can be seeking, but are you coming? Are you coming to Him who has made salvation possible and sure? Jesus, when He died, He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He was certain with what He was about to do. He was certain with going to the cross, laying down His life, and He said, after I lay down my life, I will take it up again. He was certain. He said He would do it. He did it. He finished it. He said, when He was on the cross and was about to die, His physical body, He said, it is finished. He accomplished salvation. The barrier is there. You cannot, it's like you cannot go from underneath to above, but God says, I will send my Son. My Son will walk among you, among the people, and will show the Father. Jesus says, I will show you the Father. If you have seen me, if you have believed me, you have seen the Father. You shall seek me, Jesus says, and you will die in your sin. You can go seeking, but for what reason? There is so much talk today of, if you want to be rich, you got to come and give to the church, give to Jesus. If you want to have a happy life, you got to come and give. If you want to have a good marriage, if you want to have a good family, then do this. Is that what you're seeking? Are you seeking all the earthly things? Do you not care about your eternal soul? Look, we spend so much time in our own hobbies, in our own care for our own bodies. Some do sometimes, right? If you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. But do you not care that you have a spiritual issue, that you have death written all over you, and that there is only one place where there is eternal life? Now, I'm not speaking in such a way that, oh, no one is saved and no one has experienced salvation, but I'm speaking in such a way to remind us of who we are without Christ, who we were without Christ, if we now have Christ, and if you don't have Christ today, who you are now. You have this barrier, and you might say that, well, one day, you've heard this saying, that one day, before I die, first I want to do A, B, and C, and then I will also become a Christian. But then, it might just be too late. You remember how with Esau it says there was no room for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You remember with Noah how the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. People heard about righteousness. They heard about God for 100 years. And they still did not say, this must be true. This is who God is. This must be true. We will also come to the ark. If you say that one day I will, it might be too late. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. God promises us today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but come to Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 33, a little bit further down, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. Jesus tells them essentially the same thing. A little while I am with you, a little while, but then you will seek me, you cannot find me. Jesus is saying, the time of mercy is not forever. This is also already, God already said this in Proverbs 1, verse 28. It says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Sometimes we have heard or we have thought that God was a God who is all merciful, always merciful, to the end of time merciful. And yet when we read the scriptures, God himself says there's a limit. Then they will call, but I won't answer, God says. When is the last time someone told you that this is the truth? There will come a time where you might call, but God won't answer. You will seek him, but you won't find him. Because you're hearing the gospel, you're hearing the gospel of Christ, and you're saying, not today. And God already says, one day I will say, you will come, and I will say, no. The gospel call works, God works with his gospel call, and we should listen. That is our responsibility. That is what God calls us to do. The Jews say, When Jesus says you cannot come, they don't think about it spiritually. They don't think about it as their eternal soul. They think about it only physically. And so they ask in verse 22, John 8, verse 22, will he kill himself because he says, whither I go, you cannot come? They cannot understand the way of the cross. They cannot understand what Christ is saying is there is a barrier that you cannot cross. If it is not by God's mercy and grace, you cannot and you will not cross this. We see how Jesus himself tells us to not take faith for granted. Some think that, well, we have the faith, we just need to exercise it whenever we want, whenever we feel like it. God says, not so. There's a time where you hear, where you're interested, but then you say no. And this is what the Jews did. Will he kill himself? How earthly minded. The irony is that Jesus did not kill himself, but he did lay down his life exactly for what? That those would find him. Who would truly seek him. They said, will he kill himself? And then he's gone. We can't find him anymore. And you know what? Jesus would die giving up his own life for what? So that we could find him. The Jews couldn't find him because they sought him for all the wrong reasons. But Jesus did die. He did give up his life, but not in the way that the Jews imagine. Whither I go, you cannot come, Jesus says. Because why? Because they're seeking earthly things. If you seek for money or fame or a better family, and that's your reason for coming to Christ. Now, I'm not saying that God won't let things happen in our life sometimes where we start to think about him. Someone is broke, he doesn't have any money, he's getting hungry, and he starts to think about the things of God. God works in such ways, yes. But how much is there today of people who have heard and who are being told that if you give more money, God will give you more, and that's the reason for giving money. So God will give you more. And it's just so earthly minded, and that's what Christ tells them. You will seek me, you will not find me, because you're earthly minded. You're only looking at earthly things. It is interesting because the Jews knew, the Pharisees knew the scriptures so well. Jesus tells them in John 5, search the scriptures. They were doing it. They should be doing it. They knew the scriptures so well. Yet, why then did Jesus tell them, you cannot come? Shouldn't Jesus have said, you are the first who would be able to come because you know the scriptures so well? No, he says, you cannot come. You're seeking the wrong things. You cannot come. Now, just to use a very simple example, maybe something that we will all understand, hopefully. But if the President of the United States, the arguably the most powerful man in the world, said that you can come and visit him, and you'd be so happy, and you would go to the bank in Belmopan and say, I want to see the president because I think he will give me a lot of money. They would look at you and think that you're crazy. But that, what is that different from saying that I want to seek Christ while you're looking for everything else except for forgiveness of your sin? You're looking for money, you're looking for fame, you're looking for a better life, and you haven't even considered that you have sin that will condemn you in the end. It'll send you to hell in the end. It's no different from saying you want to see the President of the United States and going to the Belizean Bank to see him, and you won't find him. He won't be there, he won't speak to you, and he won't give you money because you're seeking the wrong thing. This is what this line is representing today. In our mind, in our flesh, all we can see is the earthly things. And then God says that he comes in mercy and he opens our eyes like he did Lydia's in Acts, where it says, God opened her eyes to pay attention and to hear and listen to the things that Paul said. If God didn't open her eyes, well, she wouldn't have seen. She is under this line. She is only seeing and thinking earthly. And this is the language that Jesus uses. He says, I am from above, you are from beneath. We don't speak in such a way as if we are from above by ourselves, but our eyes get opened to the truth of God's word when he opens our eyes, when he brings us there, when he shows us. Now, this is the simplest demonstration. I was thinking of making it more complete, and I think I will, just very, very briefly. But let's make a line here and say this is the time. I don't want to write a lot here today, but this is the time of Adam and Eve. There was no line. Remember how it says that God spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden? they walked in the cool of the day speaking with God. There was no line that was separating man from God in that way. We've always been separate, and we are not God. We're not like God. We're humans. We're made limited. We're not unlimited and eternal like God, sure. But there was a time before sin entered into the world where this line was not there. There was no seeking the wrong things. And then temptation came, and temptation was still on this side. Temptation is not sin. But then sin came, and the Bible says that men fell into sin. Men was captured under sin. We are made as being under this line, separated from God because of our own sin. No one seeks for God, it says in Psalms, and it's repeated in Romans 3. No one seeks after God. That is how far our earthly minds can see because we are born into sin. But God. It always comes back to but God. In His mercy, sent Jesus, it says in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God. We are in sin. We're enslaved under sin. We're dead in sin. But God. He made us alive, it says in Ephesians. While we were dead in sin, He made us alive. And so, we can be looking for God for a thousand different reasons. When I grew up, and I was already early in my youth, someone told me that, are you doing this in your life? Are you doing this in your life? Are you doing this in your life? And if you are, there's a big chance you'll go to hell. So, what did I do? Well, I tried to do less of those things so that I would maybe get to heaven. What is that? It's seeking heaven under here. Under this line, you're seeking heaven. You might see that, okay, there are some sins and this person is telling me that I'll go to hell. So I'll be seeking for heaven with an earthly mindset. That's called works. You try to work your way to heaven and you won't make it unless you see that Jesus Christ is the difference between death and life. Well, I'll try to complete it a little bit more yet later, but this chasm, this line, there's the above and there's the beneath. Whatever is beneath, the Bible describes as earthly, sensual. It's all that a man naturally has. It is underneath. That's why Jesus says, you're from beneath. It's all that a human can come up with. Even the Tower of Babel was man-made's way of trying to get past that line to God. And it still didn't work. The Tower of Babel could not bring man past that line. Jesus said in John 3 verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is on this earth. It's among people. And yet this kingdom of God, Jesus says, you cannot see it unless you are born again. That's a different way of putting it. And the language is often used. There are two kingdoms. And that is also what this line is separating. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness. There's a clear separation. If you notice, I didn't make a second line to make a middle, because often we're tempted to think that, well, we're somewhere in the middle. We might be a little bit above, a little bit beneath, but we're somewhere in the middle. But no, there's only one separation. You're in your sin, dead, or you're alive in Christ, and you are seeing the kingdom of heaven. So, I'll change this line one more time soon. But this is the key. It is the door. It is seeing that we have sin and that we must have a way to be forgiven of our sin, to have our sin taken away. There's a view of purgatory where, well, God will forgive your sin once if you pray to Him, but the sins that you keep doing, you have to pay for those, and then you can go to heaven. People describe it with different words. Some say purgatory. Some say during the millennium you have to burn off your sin. But that attacks this door. Jesus says if you come in through this door, you will find pasture. You will find peace. You will find nourishment. And He even said your sin will be taken away as far as the east is from the west. Your sin will be thrown into the deepest ocean and God will remember it no more. And you want to come back to say that, well, some of your sin you will have to pay for? How atrocious, how evil that is towards God to say that the sacrifice that Christ provided on my behalf is not quite good enough. Let me just do the last part. What kind of Savior is that? Jesus says, I am the door. I am He. This I am implies Christ, the Son, the Word, the Creator, the God who simply is. No beginning, no ending. I am. He is the one who restores death to life. He is the one who is the light. I am. He is the one who is righteousness. He is the one who gives us new life because He is life. He is eternal, the eternal I am. He is the only Savior and Mediator. There's only one. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And He told Moses to tell the Israelites that I am had sent Him to them. When Jesus says, I am, He is showing us that His glory is equal with the Father. As a man, He came and displayed the full glory of God in being without sin, in being the source of light and righteousness and goodness. He is the I am. He is the serpent lifted up. The serpent, in the Old Testament, the snake that was lifted up on the pole, what happened? People could look and live, or they would perish. They would die. Jesus is the I am, the serpent lifted up, where we can look and live, or we will perish in our sin. And so, I'm not a very good artist, but to just complete this a little bit more, God comes down through this line. God is not affected by our sin in that He becomes sinful. Jesus did not come and become a sinner like us. Jesus is fully God, fully righteous, without sin, and He comes down into our sin world, not being affected by our sin in that He became sinful. He was affected only in suffering like us, being tempted like us, being a man with weaknesses like us, but He never sinned. And so Christ came from the throne of glory and He came to this earth and He says, look unto me and be saved. God said that in the Old Testament. Jesus said that in the New Testament because Jesus is God incarnate, God made flesh. So Jesus is this door. John 3 verse 14 says, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this fiery serpent is described in Numbers 21, if you want to read the similarities there. Now, so Christ comes into this world, shows himself as a man, dies, gives his own life, and is raised again and goes to the Father, where he is now and forever, it says, interceding for us, interceding on our behalf, praying for us. Now, I don't have a very good way to write, to draw this. I'm not an artist, but let me try. And then we will make another line. After we die, that line is gone. Now, Christ comes, and he died for a purpose. He gave his life for his sheep, the Bible says. And he comes, and we've already read in John 6. We'll continue to read in John 10. We have some of it in John 8. How Jesus comes to work in us, to turn our minds to him. If it was not Christ working in us, we wouldn't want none of him. We read in Romans 3, no one seeks after God. That is our position in the flesh, in our sin, that we don't seek after the things of God. But when he comes and we believe him, we say, yes, Lord, I have sinned. I need a Savior. I regret my sin. I am sorrowful over my sin. I need a Savior. I repent. I turn away from my sin. I turn to you. I know I can't be righteous, but I turn away from my life of sin and I turn to you. And then what happens? It's a bit like this yellow line of separation is now blurred. And why I've just blurred it is because we still have sin in us. While we are in this earth, we don't become like this with a perfect communion with God. It is like a blurry line. We have great communion with God. We have peace with God. We have joy from Jesus Christ. We have a certainty of our salvation. We have an assurance of our salvation. This line is not solid anymore because now we do have communion with the Father. We have communion with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And then after we die, we are with Him. There is no more separation forever. And so the gospel, the good news, is even after we have sinned, we have ran away from God, we have rejected Him, He comes down to us. And He says, Jesus Christ is given for the salvation of sinners. If you will believe, you will have eternal life. Jesus says in verse 24, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Many today think that Jesus was a good person. Many even think that Jesus was a prophet. He spoke things from God. Many think that Jesus gives them inspiration. But you know what? Unless you believe that Jesus is He, that He is the Messiah, the Savior, the One, no one else can replace Him. Unless you believe this, you will die in your sin. And so, you can call Jesus narrow-minded. You can call me narrow-minded. But unless you believe that He is the Savior, that He is your personal Savior, you will die in your sin. And so what does Jesus say? He says, come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Why continue to dig yourself deeper and deeper in this world seeking for everything that is not Christ, the scriptures that show to Christ. Jesus himself said, search the scriptures, do it, but see how they point to me and then come to me. He says to them, you refuse to come to me. They saw that if they would come to Jesus, their life would have to change. Look, are you so comfortable in this life that you'd rather die in your sin and go to hell than to be uncomfortable for a little bit and find Jesus? Even if he changes your life, because he will. Would you rather be comfortable in sin and go to hell than to be uncomfortable while Christ changes your life? We don't like changes. We like to stay in our little ditch. But if you come to Christ, you repent, you turn from sin, you turn to Christ, your life will change. It'll be uncomfortable. But then he will give you peace and joy and a faith to know that you have everlasting life, to be with him forever and ever. Jesus, the Passover lamb, it was either in the Old Testament, it was either the animal that would have to die or the firstborn that would have to die. It is either you who will die and go to hell to pay for your own sin, or it is Christ who has taken up your payment, and you trust in him and have everlasting life. We should not just look for empty words to sound smart. We should look to see who is Christ. What is the reality of who he is? That he is our mediator, and entrust, throw ourselves to him, and see there is no one else that is going to save us except Jesus Christ. If you die in your sin, it is fatal, it is eternal, it is forever. But if you believe in Christ, you will have eternal life now and forever. So what is the gospel? What is the good news in all of this? Even though we have sinned and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even though there is a barrier, there is a chasm, there is a big separation, yet Jesus came to earth because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's a promise. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. If there is anyone here today who is not saved or is unsure about their salvation, I pray, God, that you would give them faith to believe. Give them peace and assurance and joy in Christ. Lord, glorify yourself even by the salvation of your sheep. Lord, it's not about us, it's all about you. Help us to see and believe that more and more. Grow us in faith. Lead us in your way. Bless each one who is here today. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.